Good morning. This is Neil Strasser with the CBS World News Roundup. A unity that did not exist under his strongman rule has emerged, at least temporarily, in South Korea today at funeral services for President Park Chung-hee, killed 8 days ago by his intelligence chief. Bruce Dunning reports from Seoul.
Three faiths pray for the repose of Park's soul, Buddhist, Protestant, and Roman Catholic. These prayers recited by Cardinal Kim, Korea's highest-ranking prelate, a man who had criticized Park's repression of human rights. And the leader of the political opposition, Kim Yong-sam, a man locked this year in bitter conflict with Park, also joined more than 2,000 people at the state funeral observances. Along the streets leading to the National Cemetery, some 2 million people crowded along the curb, many weeping, wailing, bowing to the ground as the flower-decked hearse passed. Later, as a military band played at the National Cemetery, Park's three children watched their father's unadorned coffin lowered into the grave. His daughter, Kun-hae, her face drawn, aged beyond her 27 years, stared almost uncomprehendingly. She has served as Korea's first lady since her mother was killed 5 years ago. Park's only son, Ji-man, poured the first shovelful of dirt into the grave. He dropped to one knee momentarily as if frozen with emotion. Then the bugle sounded the final farewell to this controversial president. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Seoul.
Secretary of State Vance, who represented the president at the funeral, is flying home now after receiving assurances, he said, that selection of a successor to Park will proceed along constitutional lines. Here in Washington, the Senate has now also voted to add $30 million for relief aid to Cambodia, but differences with the House may delay final action for several more days. UN action is also being awaited, as Dave Hatcher reports from Bangkok.
The eyes of all those interested in Cambodia's survival will be on the United Nations Monday. A special conference will discuss ways to collect nearly $60 million to help Thailand treat thousands of Cambodians who may soon flood into holding centers here, fleeing disease, famine, and guerrilla war. Meanwhile, the two agencies handling distribution inside Cambodia, the International Red Cross and the UN Children's Fund, estimate they will need $250 million next year to keep 2 million or more Cambodians from starving to death. But problems both practical and political continue to plague the relief efforts. Cambodia's only deep water port has neither the dock facilities nor a sufficient labor force to keep up with the arrivals of ocean-going vessels bringing in rice and medicine. The new pro-Vietnamese government has angrily rejected an American proposal to allow massive truck convoys into the Cambodian countryside, saying this was a way to supply guerrillas loyal to ousted dictator Pol Pot. His regime has called for a UN peacekeeping force. Vietnam has countered that by offering its own United Nations resolution. It urges that there be no interference in the internal affairs of Cambodia, where 200,000 Vietnamese troops now operate. Dave Hatcher for CBS News, Bangkok.
The U.S. action cutting off military and economic aid to Bolivia has drawn scorn from the leader of the military group that ousted Bolivia's civilian government this week. Colonel Alberto Natusch declared last night, "We do not intend to let paternalism tie the hands of our sovereignty." President Carter is about the only presidential hopeful not campaigning this weekend. He's at Camp David, but Vice President Mondale is traveling to Iowa on his behalf. For Senator Edward Kennedy, the campaign trail has led to Buffalo, New York, as Susan Spencer reports.
It's only a county get-out-the-vote rally, but it's an Irish Catholic Erie County, New York, which delivers this state's second-largest block of delegates after New York City. And Senator Kennedy has found the time in his busy schedule to accommodate the local politicians. Some 7,000 people are expected to turn out. About 3,000 came last night to hear the senator at the annual Jefferson Jackson Day dinner in Charleston, West Virginia, a state historically fond of Kennedy's. Senator Kennedy lashed out at President Carter for not leading the country and for not clarifying his position on nuclear power.
The choice is clear. If America is going to build nuclear power plants for the future, we must build them safely, or we should not build them at all. And so I call on the president to make his position clear. This nation needs a moratorium on nuclear power plant construction.
Kennedy returns to Washington this afternoon to rest up for next week, when he finally will make his formal announcement in historic Faneuil Hall in Boston on Wednesday. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Buffalo, New York.
The newest official Republican candidate is focusing today on a straw vote at a state Republican presidential forum in Portland, Maine. Lem Tucker reports.
The straw balloting may be non-binding, but it is not unimportant. The delegates assembled here were in large part chosen by town and county caucuses and appointed by local party chairmen in much the same way the final delegate slate will be picked for the national convention. So the balloting is being billed as the first real test this year of party sentiment for the nomination, which is why most of the Republican candidates are here. Prospects of not faring well have led some of them to minimize the yet-to-come results, but Senator Howard Baker, who has the help of Maine Senator William Cohen, is expected to win the poll. So his people are talking about how significant this could be. And of course, even if the final delegate slate to the convention can't remember back to November 79, a win today would give Senator Baker's three-day-old official campaign a boost, a badly needed one since he is admittedly trailing Ronald Reagan in popularity, John Conley in fundraising, and George Bush, who should finish second today, in organizing. Lem Tucker, CBS News, Portland, Maine.
George Bush, speaking last night in Boston, called on President Carter to begin airdropping food over Cambodia. Bush also predicted that Mr. Carter, not Senator Kennedy, will win the Democratic nomination. Final action by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the SALT II Arms Control Treaty is now expected by the middle of next week. But now attached is a definite link to the Soviet combat troops in Cuba. Phil Jones reports.
The Senate committee has voted for an understanding that would require the president to affirm that Soviet military forces in Cuba are not engaged in a combat role or that they are a threat to any other country before SALT II could take effect. However, some hardliners say they will attempt to tighten the language prohibiting such Soviet combat activity once the treaty gets to the Senate floor. It is still unclear what the Soviets are up to. However, informed sources are now indicating that intelligence information shows that the Soviet Combat Brigade is now in a low profile. Communications have dwindled to zero, and although there is no actual change in the composition, no deployment has been detected. There are some rotations occurring, but they are similar to other rotations occurring in Soviet satellite nations during this time of the year. It is still not known whether this could turn out to be a drawdown of the Soviet Combat Brigade. But Senate treaty supporters have said all along that in the end it will be up to Russia. Which is more important, SALT II or the Combat Brigade? Because the Senate won't let the Soviets have both. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
American Airlines is still flying this morning. A pre-dawn tentative settlement averting a strike at American's training school in Dallas, which had threatened to shut down the airline. Late this morning, a jet from the presidential fleet takes off from Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington, bearing the body of former First Lady Mamie Eisenhower back to its final resting place. That place, as Betty Ann Bowser reports, Abilene, Kansas.
She was a president and five-star general's wife who traveled the world, hobnobbing with kings and queens and heads of state. But she will be buried next to her husband today in relative simplicity in a small chapel on the grounds of the Eisenhower Center in Abilene, Kansas. Mrs. Eisenhower's body will be flown here from Washington this afternoon by Air Force jet, accompanied by members of the immediate family. Former President Richard Nixon and his wife are coming from California, along with Mrs. Eisenhower's grandson, David, and his wife, Julie Nixon Eisenhower. The service will be brief, only about 45 minutes, and will be conducted by the Reverend Robert A. McCaskill of the First Presbyterian Church in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, where the late President and Mrs. Eisenhower worshipped for many years after his retirement. Betty Ann Bowser, CBS News, Abilene, Kansas.
The National Space Agency now says the Pegasus 2 satellite will fall back to Earth today around 6 p.m. Eastern Time, give or take 2 hours. Most of the 23,000-pound winged satellite is expected to burn up as it reaches the atmosphere, but some chunks may hit the surface. In the United States, only Hawaii and the extreme south, from Texas to Florida, are in the possible path of the satellite.